Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. We're continuing our series on loving God. And this morning, we're going to look at how loving God is the root and source of a life of godly discernment in the Christian life. I preached a series of 20 to 30 sermons on the importance of spiritual discernment in the Christian life nearly 20 years ago. And so I thought I'd include at least one or two sermons in this on the love of God. The importance of loving God and a life of godly discernment is a very important part of the Christian life, and it fits nicely here after the sermon on love for God and a life of godly contentment. If you think carefully, the two virtues are closely related. No one is content who is not also spiritually discerning. And no one is discerning who is not fully content with God, with His Word, His grace, His sovereignty, His sufficiency, His will and commandments, and His saving purposes. And truly, they are related. And so it is certain that the more we grow in faith in Christ and the love of God, the more we'll grow in spiritual discernment to make godly decisions in our lives to His glory and to our spiritual blessing. And so this morning and next week, we're going to talk about loving God in a life of godly discernment. Now, godly discernment is an important aspect of the Christian life that is desperately needed today. Sadly, because of the influence of false doctrine in the church and the growing spiritual downgrade, many Christians today are undiscerning. They do not use sound or godly judgment in their lives about Scripture, about doctrine, about church, about worship, following Christ, making wise decisions, raising their children, what books they read, what music they listen to, what forms of entertainment they watch. In fact, for the most part today, tragically, many believers are very undiscerning and even at times foolish and gullible and misdirected and easily deceived in so many ways. And tragically, even pastors and Christian leaders today are very undiscerning and misguided by false doctrine and very poor judgment in the things of God. There is such scandal, sin, idolatry, and really the falling away from the faith. Of course, much of this is on account of the church's accommodation to false doctrine, the influences of deviant forms of Christianity today, liberalism, feminism, and the unwillingness of pastors and Christian leaders to be faithful to Scripture and sound doctrine. Now, William Ames said, "Those who betray the truth by compromising with error soon become incapable of discerning between truth and error." That is what we see in the church today. This is sadly a large part of the church has gone over the last 20 years, evangelical and reformed Christians combined. Christians today simply don't know how to discern between truth and error at times, between good and evil, between sound doctrine and false doctrine, between faithful preaching and superficial preaching, between true worship and false worship, between a life of godliness and a life of ungodliness. As a matter of fact, many can't even tell the difference between what true humility is and what pride and vanity is. Between love for God and love for the world, a lifestyle of worship, devotion, discipleship, and educational patterns that will lead to their own and their family's spiritual blessing and the truth of God, and that kind of lifestyle that will inevitably lead to sin, misery, and their spiritual ruin. I think you can see that, and it's very tragic. And so often folks today are tossed to and fro by the fashions of the world as well as the false doctrines and ungodly practices of this world. This is very sad because it is growing widespread. It is this lack of love for God and spiritual discernment that has brought the church today to such a degree of spiritual declension and apostasy from the truth. Thomas Watson said, "Love to God is the armor of proof against error. For want of hearts full of love, men have heads full of error. Unholy opinions are for want of holy affections." That's exactly what we're experiencing today in the church. The lack of love for God, devotion to His truth, His Word, has brought widespread error. Bernard of Clairvaux actually said, "No one is discerning of truth apart from the love of God. And surely no one is capable of loving God apart from the truth." That is something to think about. They're related, truth and love. Augustine said, "If you love God more than sin and idolatry, you will not likely stumble into sin or idolatry." That is a very clear and easy way to look at it. If we love God, we love His Word, His truth, right? More than sin and idolatry, more than the things of the world, well, we're not likely to stumble into it. We'll not likely fret, fall into patterns, murmur and complain at truth. No. So this morning we're going to talk about the importance of spiritual discernment in the Christian life. Because in following Christ and growing in the love of God, we need to be growing in spiritual discernment. A discernment is not only important for the Christian life, let me say, it is vital for the Christian life. In fact, the Bible repeatedly speaks of the importance of discernment in the Christian life. Jesus himself warned the disciples often of the danger of being without spiritual discernment, without godly judgment, and being ensnared, therefore, by the lies and the hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees. In Luke 12:56, Jesus rebuked the false teachers, saying, "You hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, that is the weather, but you cannot discern from Scripture the signs of the times." Now, this is often true today. People can discern the weather. They can't discern what? Scripture. Truth. Right? Truth from error. And Jesus, therefore, often spoke plainly and forcefully to the disciples, whom he loved, saying often to them, "Do you not understand? Don't be deceived. Are you also without discernment? Do you not know how to discern the signs of the times? Do you not see these things?" Jesus was always challenging the disciples. Even the disciples at first, you remember, were clouded in their minds and judgments and only had a dim view and picture of the glory of Christ and of divine things. And so they often stumbled. But Jesus trained them and taught them to think biblically, to discern the signs of the times and the truth of His glory from the lies and the deception of the false teachers, the scribes and Pharisees. In Matthew 10:16, when Jesus sent the apostles out on their first mission, He said to them, "Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." That is still true today. We need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. In John 7:24, Jesus said to them, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." That is, be discerning. Judge and discern according to Scripture, not according to sentiment or tradition or other things. What Jesus did for the disciples is what ought to be happening in the church today with believers. We need to have our minds sanctified by the truth and the love of God that we may live in godly discernment, that we might discern the signs of the times, that we might discern truth from error, sound doctrine from false doctrine. Because this is, of course, directly related to the first and great commandment. In Matthew 22:37-38, Jesus said to the disciples, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." So the first and great commandment teaches us not only to love God with all our heart, but it teaches us what? To be discerning. Because to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind means we need to be discerning. What that means: in order to love God, we need to hate idolatry, false religion, sin, ungodliness, and those things that displease God. Because that's really what a life of spiritual discernment means. It means making godly judgments as to the truth of God's Word and having the grace and virtue to live by it in opposition to sin and error. In Ecclesiastes 8:5, Solomon says, "A wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment." We want to be wise. We want to be understanding. In Romans 12:1-2, Paul says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Paul there is speaking of discernment, judgment. Having our minds sanctified by the Word of God, transformed and renewed, so that we may prove, discern, make godly judgments as to how to please God. So the judgments that we make toward others, or more properly, toward ideas, statements, viewpoints, matters of doctrine and practice, faith and life, theology or politics, worship or family, are always to be according to the truth of God's Word, and not the traditions or opinions of men, or not our own religious sentiment. Now, it's for this reason the Apostle Paul, here in Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, prays for the church and for believers in Philippi to grow in the love of God in all knowledge and spiritual discernment. Notice Paul's prayer here for the saints. He says, "In this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." Now, notice Paul's prayer here for the saints is that they would grow in the love of God with all knowledge and spiritual discernment, understanding the truth in opposition to error and false doctrine, and that this knowing and discerning love for God and for one another would give them the grace and the ability to approve and to practice in their lives those things that are excellent, virtuous, praiseworthy, that are in accordance with Scripture and sound doctrine, in order that they might live a life of great spiritual blessing and fruitfulness to the glory and praise of God. What a wonderful prayer. Because this is the great end and goal of the Christian life. Not to glorify and enjoy God by living in conformity to His Word, by faith in Jesus Christ, growing in love for Him, the knowledge of His saving love for us, being blessed, and being fruitful. Love for God leads to a life of spiritual discernment and fruitfulness. John Dillet, the French reformer, said, "Love for God must be engraven upon our hearts and minds by the knowledge of Christ and His Word in order for us to be discerning of God's will, so that we would approve those things that are excellent and so live a life of true joy and godliness in Christ to the glory and praise of God." Well, you see how important then discernment is for the Christian life. That we often forget how important it is for our lives, and how love for God, the deepening our love for God, strengthens our spiritual discernment. You see, it's not just the knowledge that we have of Scripture. That's important. Knowledge of God, knowledge of the truth. It's love for God. It gives us spiritual discernment. So there are eight things that we want to look at from this passage that together teaches us how to grow in the love of God and a life of godly discernment. This morning we're going to look just at the first four points of the outline. And Lord willing, next week we will look at the last four points. And notice, first of all, the priority of godly discernment. The priority of godly discernment in the Christian life. In order to grow in the love of God and a life of godly discernment, we need to be convinced, first of all, of the great need, the great importance of spiritual discernment in the Christian life. So notice closely here in Paul's prayer that he's writing to the church, affirming that he's praying for them, that they might grow in the love of God, and that love would abound still more and more in all knowledge and spiritual discernment. Now, this was surely to convince the church and the people of God there of the great importance of discernment to their life, their faith, their walk, their families, their heritage, and some, or even their eternal souls and destiny. It was of great significance. The fact is, many people today suffer shipwreck of their faith because of lack of love for God and godly discernment. Faith in Christ is not genuine when it is distorted by lies and false religion. Let's be clear. Martin Luther said, "He that is completely undiscerning is unbelieving." Faith in Jesus Christ admits of no works of man's righteousness, no human traditions, no schemes of false religion, but only in His Word and righteousness. True faith, right, is set on Christ, His Word, His righteousness, His grace. That is what, first of all, makes us discerning. And this, of course, is one of the real problems in the church today. As Luther rightly noted, there are many people who are undiscerning because there are many people who are unbelieving. They're not saved. They believe a false gospel. We have to understand that. Thomas Watson said, "There's no going to heaven blindfold. Godly wisdom and spiritual discernment are necessary to follow Christ. For those who would be sound in their faith must be also wise and discerning of heart." Discernment is essential for the Christian life. If there's no discernment at all, then there's not faith. There's not a trust and a believing apprehension of the grace of God in Jesus Christ and the gospel. That's a big problem today. And so there's a great need for discernment in the church today, just as there's a great need for true faith in Jesus Christ and for us to know the truth of the gospel and not to be deceived by false religion. Now, this same applies, though, to our growth and sanctification in Christ. The importance, there's a great and dire need for spiritual discernment in the church today with regard to every aspect of life. Theology, preaching, worship, discipleship, education, marriage and the family, apologetics, evangelism, politics, public policy, everything. There is a great need for Christians to have spiritual discernment. There's no way to live a life of spiritual discernment and fruitfulness in the Christian life without growing, therefore, in the love of God. This is one of the most important aspects of Paul's prayer, as well as the entire letter of the Philippians, where Paul expounds on the steps to a life of true joy and godliness. Notice he's saying, in order to do that, you need to grow in the love of God, in all knowledge and spiritual discernment, approving those things that are excellent, shunning those things that are evil and ungodly, and that's when you will live a life of fruitfulness to the praise and glory of God through Jesus Christ. Now, this is one of the reasons why so many believers today become stunted in their growth and sanctification, and often stumble and make bad decisions in their lives because they lack spiritual discernment. This, of course, is why Paul is writing, and why he's praying for the saints, because we're all liable to stumble into error or into patterns of sin or make foolish and unwise or even ungodly decisions in life if we're not abounding in the love of God in all knowledge and spiritual discernment. We're bound to do some dumb things. Right? You can see all through the Old Testament, even the patriarchs, right? Or through church history, or from our own experience. So Paul encourages them to grow in the love of God and knowledge and discernment. And there are many places where Paul exhorts or encourages believers to this end. To be discerning in a world of iniquity, idolatry, false religion, and so many complications, so many ideologies. It's so important to be discerning. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 21 and 22, Paul says, test all things, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil, and may the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice here again, the Apostle Paul stresses the importance of discernment in the Christian life. He says we're to be careful to test all things by the word of God, not to be ensnared by false ideas, false opinions, false apprehensions that clutter the mind, false doctrines, false practices that would in any way hurt our faith and lives. And if we don't think that that's possible or that's not happening, well, we're not being discerning. That's in itself. We have to have humility in order to be discerning of our errors. Paul is basically saying here that the heart of spiritual discernment, right, is the humility, the faith, and the love of God of making sound and godly judgments. Sound and godly judgments are about what we hear, what we read, what we see and observe in the world, as to the discerning of God's will and providence. As we discern between truth and error and right and wrong, we're necessarily going to make judgments. We weigh the evidence of the words or actions in a balance from Scripture and to decide whether it's good or bad, true or false, godly or ungodly. And our lives are deeply affected by whether we're discerning or not, and able to make sound and godly judgments. Now, sadly, making sound judgments is not popular today, right? People are always decrying judgments and being judgmental, right? Now, children do this from the very beginning. When they disobey and are chastised, they murmur and complain at what is good for them and what is designed to protect them. And sadly, there are millions of people in the world as adults who still do that. Murmur and complain at rebuke, chastening, and admonition against those things that are hurtful to them. And sadly, most believers commonly do this today when they are rebuked and corrected. Without the discernment that is for their good. Many folks will even misquote Jesus' words where he says in Matthew 7, "Do not judge lest you be judged." Right? How many times have you heard that? Right? Even from Christians, people don't want to be corrected. So they'll often misquote Scripture. And that in itself shows a lack of discernment. Not a lack of humility and faith, but a lack of discernment. Because we live sadly in a culture of relativism that rejects the Word of God, sound biblical doctrine, the abiding validity of the law, as well as any values and judgments that are based on divine truth and not political correctness, liberal theology, worldly sentiment, or human traditions. In fact, while making sound judgments is a virtue in Scripture, it is widely considered in our culture a great evil, a great sin. Right? Think of it. Abortion, homosexuality, adultery, idolatry, all kinds of sins and patterns of wickedness in our culture. Right? The Bible condemns as evil and destructive. People praise as diversity, tolerance, acceptance. Right? Paganism is all throughout our culture. And so our culture of paganism and liberalism will always vilify those who speak the truth, even if it is done in love, to bring them to repentance, to bring them out from under the wrath of God to his divine mercy, grace, and love, and eternal life. Go figure. The biblical demand for making sound judgments and discriminating between good and evil has therefore fallen out of favor even in the church today. That's the spirit of the age. We live in a time of apostasy and false religion where almost anything is acceptable except for sound and godly judgments that are according to Scripture and sound doctrine. Now, we certainly need to speak the truth in love, but we're to remember that the Bible speaks repeatedly of making sound judgments, being discriminating, using discernment as a virtue, holding fast to the truth of the gospel, obeying God's commandments. There's no living the Christian life, no following Christ, no true faith and love to God apart from the grace and virtue of spiritual discernment. And there is no way to grow in the grace of God. There's no way to make progress in the Christian life apart from the love of God and a life of spiritual discernment. Thomas Manton said, "The making of sound judgments is necessary for the making of godly Christians. For those who would live by the truth of God must cleave to Christ's word and doctrine alone and avoid all else." It's necessary to grow, to make godly judgments. Yeah, as I said, we need to do in humility, Christian love. That's why Paul's praying here for the saints, saying, "In this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent." It's a great priority. It's of great importance to the church and to the Christian life today. Well, notice secondly the point. In order to grow in the love of God, a life of godly discernment, we need to know also what true discernment is according to Scripture. Now, we've already talked about a little bit about it in regard to the priority of it. Now, what is discernment and how does it work? Because in its simplest definition, discernment is nothing more than the ability to decide between truth and error, right and wrong, good and evil. Discernment is the process of making careful distinctions in our thinking about truth and life. Remember, it's not only just about doctrine, it's about the way we live. What's the benefit if we have the discernment, as we might say, of knowing the truth, but we don't obey the truth? Right? That's not discernment. That's kind of stupid. So in other words, the ability to think with discernment is synonymous with the ability to think biblically, and therefore also to speak, to live, and to govern our lives according to God's will, according to Scripture and sound doctrine, and not according to what? Sentiment, human tradition, philosophy, ideology, fake news media, or anything that has corrupted the church and society. And when we talk about the nature and meaning of discernment, there are basically two terms used in the Bible. There's the Old Testament Hebrew word, din, and then there's the New Testament Greek word, krino, or diakrino. They're very similar in both their etymology and their use of making godly and righteous decisions, discernment with regard to sound doctrine of godly life, and that in conformity to God's word. The Hebrew word bin is used over 250 times in the Old Testament to show you how significant, and is translated, depending on the context, in a variety of different ways. It can mean the ability to understand, to discern, to judge, or to distinguish. Right? You get the idea. It's related to the word bayin, which literally means a space between or an interval. Boop. Antithesis. Right? There's distinctions. They're not the same. Right? The worship of God is not the same as the worship of Baal. True doctrine is not the same as false doctrine. So you can imagine how important this is in a culture of relativism. The word carries the idea of being able to separate things from one another based on their differences. Spiritual discernment, therefore, carries the idea of separating or distinguishing truth from error, right from wrong. It refers, of course, to the process by which one comes to know and understand the truth and will of God by sound judgment. In Proverbs chapter 1, for example, verses 3 and 4, Solomon says that the very purpose of the Proverbs is to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, and to the young man, knowledge and discretion. And therefore, all the way through the book of Proverbs, you can see all the counsel, the advice for young men, for young women, on how to live a godly, chaste, virtuous, God-honoring life in obedience to God's word. It's the book of Proverbs. In Ezekiel 44, verse 23, the Lord says, "The priests who know the law shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the unholy, and they shall cause them to discern between the clean and the unclean." Right? What's the role of the prophets? What's the role of pastors and teachers? To, by discernment, show the difference between what? Sound doctrine, false doctrine. The holy and the unholy. Those who love and serve God and those who serve Baal. That was most generally the pattern in the Old Testament. Now, the Greek term most often used in the New Testament for discernment is krino, or diakrino, and it's quite similar to the Old Testament term. Diakrino means to separate, to judge, or distinguish. The word carries the idea of making sound judgments or decisions based on separating truth from error, separating good from evil. So here, spiritual discernment, when spoken of in the New Testament, is the virtue of making sound judgments with regard to spiritual and moral issues based on the gospel. It's the grace and ability to separate truth from error, good from evil, in the knowledge of Christ and His Word. So with progressive revelation, the fullness of Christ, this is how the Greek word that is most often used in the New Testament is to speak of discernment. Always in relationship to what? Christ and the revelation of the gospel, the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, and how the gospel has brought salvation and righteousness and grace, and that does not overthrow also the abiding validity of the law. That is itself one of the most important aspects of discernment. In Hebrews 5:14, Paul therefore speaks of the mature Christian who is skilled in the word of righteousness, and by reason of use, therefore has their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So Paul says in Hebrews 5, it is the mature Christian, it's the godly Christian who is skilled in the word of God, the word of righteousness, and therefore has their senses exercised to discern. Spiritual discernment comes from what? The experience of studying the word of God, knowing the word of righteousness, growing in the knowledge of God. Now, interesting enough, after all that, the Greek word that Paul uses here in Philippians 1:9, translated discernment, is not krino. It's aisthesis. It's actually used only here in the entire New Testament. but carries basically the same idea of the more common Greek word for discernment, diakrino. You think, interesting. It's the only time it's ever used in the entire New Testament? Yep. Eisthesis. From which we get what? Thesis. Right? You know, thesis statement. Right? The word refers to wisdom, insight, spiritual perception, godly moral judgment, as well as spiritual discernment. Now, the fact that the word is used only here by Paul in the entire New Testament would indicate that the church in Philippi, because of their largely Roman background, probably used the word in matters of judgment concerning matters of truth and moral excellence. And he thought it proper. That's what I think. Right? It was probably a word used in Roman law and the military, and Paul takes it and he uses it for theological and spiritual reasons and adds, notice in the context of Philippians, the significance. Be discerning in matters of judgment and truth and moral excellence. Well, anyway, you get the idea from Scripture what discernment means. Jay Adams, in his book on discernment, says, spiritual discernment is the ability to distinguish God's thoughts and ways from all others. That's a very simple definition. Do we have the ability to discern, to know and understand, and to cleave to in love for God what truth is and what God's commandments require in thankfulness and the desire to obey and therefore grow? So discernment is the faculty or ability to discern, distinguish, differentiate issues about moral judgments, truth from error, right from wrong, from Scripture. So to be discerning means to show godly judgment with regard to Scripture, sound doctrine, a life of godliness, moral judgments in the world. Martin Luther said this, discernment is closing the door and not letting the manure flies to get into the house. That's a humorous way. How many times do the flies get into the house? Don't let the flies get into your doctrine. Right? Don't let the manure, think of that, don't let the flies, don't let the manure get into the house. Because that's not discerning. In Isaiah 20, the prophet says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, there is no light in them. There's no discernment. If we're not speaking according to the word of God, we're not using discernment. We're just basing our thoughts on the pattern of this world, false doctrine, religious sentiment, human tradition. Discernment comes from the knowledge of Scripture and sound doctrine. Matthew Henry wrote this, there are spiritual senses as well as those that are natural. There is a spiritual eye, a spiritual appetite, a spiritual taste. For the soul has its faculties and sensations as well as the body. These are much depraved and lost by sin, but they are recovered and renewed by grace. And it is by use and exercise that these senses are improved, made more quick and strong to taste the sweetness of what is good and true, and the bitterness of what is false and evil. Not only reason and faith, but spiritual sense will teach men to distinguish between what is pleasing and what is provoking to God, and what between what is helpful and what is hurtful to our own souls. Brilliant. This is what Christians need to have today. A spiritual sense of what is true and what is profitable to them and what is pleasing to God. Now, it's not bad to have a natural taste for foods and drinks and other things, but it's better to have a spiritual sense, a spiritual taste. The fact is today, because of false religion, accommodation to political correctness, and modern ideologies, most Christians do not have a spiritual taste. Their senses are dulled, right? And therefore, it is with the use, improvement from the Word of God, growth in the love of God, that our spiritual senses and our discernment of things are bettered. improved. Right? It's just like in music, practicing an instrument, sports, or a particular job that we might have. When we improve and we get used to it, that's discernment. Our senses are exercised to distinguish truth from error. And that's why Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, we're to test all things. We're to hold fast to what is good and abstain from every form of evil. Notice what he doesn't say, because a lot of people do this. They hold fast to evil that they accommodate to, and then they look down upon that which is good and profitable. Why? Because that's hard. Taking up the cross, following Christ, holding fast to the truth of God, sound doctrine, well, that's contrary to the world. That's contrary to the way everybody else is going. That's more difficult. That produces hardship and sometimes even persecution. The Apostle John, in 1 John chapter 4, when he says this, he's speaking about discernment. He says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. There are many false teachers and false prophets in the world. It's very sad how Christians cannot discern at all that they are false teachers. It's shocking today, actually. It's shocking to me to see even Reformed pastors and scholars accommodate to neo-Orthodox heretics. N.T. Wright, C.S. Lewis. These guys don't even believe in hell. They don't believe in the authority of Scripture. They don't believe in atonement. Justification by faith alone. That's pretty bad. That's not discernment. Right? The key to living a godly life in faithfulness to Christ and His Word, devoted to sound doctrine, growing in the love of God, right? In many ways lies in a believer's ability to exercise discernment in every area of life. Make right and godly decisions. A failure to distinguish between truth and error leaves believers subject to all sorts of sin, misery, and even, God forbid, spiritual ruin. That's not good. What is spiritual discernment then? Well, it's the grace and virtue to think biblically about all areas of life and thought and to govern our lives according to Scripture and sound doctrine. Right? It does us no good if we have the truth in our minds and it's not lived out in our lives. Matthew Henry said, we're not to mix the purity of the gospel with the dross of human speculation. Now, for this reason, we need to remember that it is a sanctified love for God and the truth that makes us discerning. I will say that. It is not just a bare knowledge of Scripture or sound doctrine, but a sincere love for God and the truth that makes us discerning. Now, it is good to have a knowledge of Scripture and sound doctrine. It's good. It's profitable. It is a show of discernment to be, as it were, grounded upon sound doctrine, the five souls of the Reformation, the doctrines of grace, to be reformed in our commitment. But we must remember the importance of having a sanctified love for God. Love for God is the armor of proof against error. You say, why do you say that? Well, because there are many Reformed Christians who have an intellectual commitment to the authority of Scripture and Reformed doctrine, and yet still are very undiscerning in their lives and in making decisions. Very undiscerning. They don't make wise decisions. Why is that? Well, Paul says right here in his prayer, they need greater growth and sanctification in the love of God. Notice he says, I pray that you would grow and your love would abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. We need to have the love of God sanctified in our hearts and to abound. We not only need to know the truth, but we need to know how important the first commandment is, to love God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. That gives us discernment. Truth is the foundation. Love for God is what sanctifies our lives, our hearts, our minds. It is a love for God that enables us to approve the things that are excellent instead of accommodating to the things that are sinful and ungodly. Do you hear what I'm saying? Yes. And I think that you know from all around in the nation, our culture, and this community, you can see how there are a lot of ungodly and sinful things that are accommodated to, even though Christians, I hope, believe that they are bad for them. This is why Paul prays for the saints. This is the reason that all Christians need to grow in the love of God. Right? This is one of the reasons why biblical counseling is so important today. The greater our love for God and the truth, the greater will be our spiritual discernment. And this is why faithful pastors who know the Word of God, who love God, are able to give wise counsel to folks, ought to take up the responsibility in all of these aspects. It's actually quite tragic that Christians today rely on pagans, unbelievers, false teachers, and complete idiots for counsel. And they wonder why they suffer. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 12:10, when Paul speaks of the gift of spiritual discernment, he makes it clear that it is related to the ministry of the Word and the knowledge of God. He speaks of having a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, as well as the discerning of spirits. Now, you will hear all kinds of crazy, nonsensical, and ridiculous things from Pentecostals about what this means, and they have no clue. Right? This is not direct revelation from God. This is the spiritual gifts that God gives to those who know the Word, who study. These all primarily have to do with the ministry of the Word, the gifts of the Spirit that are given to pastors, teachers, theologians, and biblical counselors for the edification of the church. Of course, also other godly Christians who know Scripture and sound doctrine and are used by God for that end, the gifts of the Spirit for the building up of the body of Christ. Right, as Paul says in Ephesians 4, that we come to the full measure of the stature of Christ, growing in the knowledge of the truth, Christian love, that we're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and the cunning craftiness of false teachers who lie in wait and deceive. No, but we come to the full measure of Christ. Well, that brings us to the third point, the problem of godly discernment. In order to grow in the love of God and a life of godly discernment, we need to realize that true spiritual discernment has fallen on hard times today because of the church's ignorance of Scripture and sound doctrine. And sometimes it's not just that they're ignorant, they're just unwilling. Sadly, spiritual discernment is an area where many Christians lack in a great measure today. And that's because of the influence of the world, the temptations of the world, the culture of relativism and idolatry, the influence of false doctrine. Many believers exhibit very little ability to discern truth from error, to measure the things that they're taught against the standard of God's Word, the truth of sound biblical doctrine. And so, sadly and unwittingly, they make all kinds of bad decisions in their life. But with regard to worship and education and church attendance and lifestyle and friendships and matters of work and forms of leisure and entertainment and every life. And it's not long that 10, 20 years later, they find out, oh, well, that was undiscerning. And that's tragic, though. And this, of course, is part of the reason for Paul's prayer for the church in Philippi. They were in need of spiritual growth and sanctification, as well as the courage and conviction to oppose the influence of false teachers, oppose false doctrine, political ideologies, the corrupting influences of Hellenistic culture and society, and all those who corrupted the gospel, lest they fall prey. Right? This is always a danger in the church, especially today in time of apostasy and spiritual declension, when people are easily offended at the truth of God. They want to accommodate to the general religious climate of broad evangelicalism. There's nothing wrong with showing Christian love and mercy and so forth to fellow believers or even non-believers. But to adopt their doctrine, to fall into their practices, to be corrupted by their lifestyle is undiscerning and ungodly. And this is what Paul is writing to the saints here to avoid. Right? You can live for Christ in an ungodly world still in Christian love and not be entangled in the web of lies. And that's why in Hebrews 5:14, Paul even warns the church of the danger of this. Right? Saying this, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, discern both good and evil. Notice what Paul is saying there in the book of Hebrews. He's talking to the Christians, and he's saying, you know what? There's been many years since you came to Christ. Many years. And you haven't yet learned some of the basics. You ought to be teachers. You ought to be mature in the faith. You ought to be well grounded in Scripture and sound doctrine. But you're not. You're still little kids. You're still little children. And, you know, for some Christians, that is very hard to swallow in humility. To know, actually, that they're really not mature. They're little kids, tossed to and fro, undiscerning. And that's the difficulty. There are many, sadly, many Christians today who are unskilled in the Word of God, which is the source of truth and righteousness. They're still feeding on milk. They can't discern well between biblical doctrine and false doctrine, between what is good and holy and profitable for their lives and what tends to their hurt and ruin. You can see this especially in the nature of receiving the Word of God. Yeah, much of the church today is like, hey, you can only stand 30, 40 minutes of preaching, and that's only for a morning. It's hard for them to go to lecture. Impossible for them to go to Sunday school. And a midweek, two-hour lecture, they're so much involved in the world. That's a lack of discernment. Athanasius said, those who lack the discipline of spiritual discernment will always lack the grace of spiritual enlightenment. Jeremiah Burroughs, Puritan, said this: the undiscerning Christian is adept at stumbling along the way to glory, and often through the mire and mud pits of ignorance, foolishness, worldliness, obstinacy, as well as false doctrine. That is a sad reality. The undiscerning Christian, adept, stumbling along the way to glory. Praise God, they get there. Yeah, you can see that in John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. You know, Christians tossed to and fro, carried off the road to Doubting Castle and all these other things. Beloved, it's very sad. It's very sad because of the growing apostasy and spiritual declension in the church. Many Christians don't even realize that much of their thinking is not biblical. They don't see and understand. But a mixture of Scripture and sound doctrine with a large measure of neo-orthodoxy, modern libertarianism, and feminism. Now, God bless them, but most evangelical and reformed pastors today are even poisoned by these destructive influences and have a serious lack of godly discernment. It's not only embarrassing, it's scandalous. It's scandalous. You know, I was just on the way and I was thinking, because I know some folks, and, you know, they have their children working at Starbucks, a part and pillar of paganism in our society. The very emblem of the company is a pagan goddess. I had no idea why Reformed pastors or even Christians would ever think of working at a place like Starbucks. It's shocking. The lack of discernment, the complete paganism, ungodliness of the company, all of the resources and money they make goes to abortion and liberals. But that just shows. I mean, there's thousands of instances where I see this in. It's not just the average Christian. It's in Reformed pastors. It's in Reformed leaders. Elders and deacons, it's shocking the complete lack of spiritual discernment. Now, God bless them, but they're poisoned by this lack of spiritual discernment, this corrupt influence of the culture that undermines their life, their faith, and also eventually their families. William Ames said, an undiscerning people untaught in the Scripture and the truth of God are also an unloving people led about by false sentiments and the traditions of men. And that's why the church is often so divided, right? By strife and bitterness and so forth. Wow, it's like, be discerning. I point this out with greater clarity in my sermons on theological barriers to biblical reformation. But it's important to see in 2 Timothy 4, Paul therefore warned the church, actually in chapter 3, Paul warned the church saying this: but know this, beloved, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people, turn away. People that are ungodly and undiscerning, you might have to work with, that you don't have to fellowship with. Turn away. They don't love God. Right? Notice Paul says when people turn away from the love of God in Christ, they're given over to what? Sin, idolatry, ignorance, an undiscerning mind, an ungodly pattern of life. It's very sad. It's becoming widespread today. Thomas Goode, when writing against all the evils in the church of his day, the height of the 17th century Puritan era, on account of Roman Catholicism, the Anabaptists, the Quakers, the Arminians, the Antinomians, he said this: where there is an eclipse of divine truth and the love of God, there will always be an eclipse of spiritual discernment and full obedience to God. There is an eclipse. Where there is an eclipse of divine truth and love for God, right, there will also be an eclipse of spiritual discernment and obedience to Him. That's a real sad, tragic situation. Now, this is why we're seeing today, even in evangelical Reformed churches, a gross lack of spiritual discernment that leads to all kinds of sin and idolatry. Discernment affects every area of the church and the Christian life. As I said, worship, preaching, doctrine, life, devotion to God, following Christ, obedience to God's commandments, politics, civil government, marriage and the family, education, raising children, and, of course, a believer's growth and sanctification. We need to be discerning. And that's why Paul prays here for the saints. This I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent. Love for God and the truth can only be cultivated in our lives as we grow in Christ. We grow in spiritual discernment. We're able to discern sound doctrine from false doctrine, good from evil, right? Truth from error, faithful preaching from foolish preaching, a lifestyle of practical godliness from a lifestyle of sin and ungodliness. These, which were at one time obvious, are not so obvious in the church today. Well, and then finally, the principle of godly discernment. In order to grow in the love of God and a life of godly discernment, we need to know that true discernment, true spiritual discernment, is built on the knowledge of Scripture and sound doctrine. So let me explain carefully. Because notice in Paul's prayer, he says, "In this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." Now notice here how Paul speaks of our love abounding more and more in knowledge. Right? Epignosis. Now, the word that the Gnostics often used to pervert the gospel and to distort Scripture and sound doctrine. I mean, Paul is, of course, speaking in somewhat, not only doctrinally here, but he's speaking polemically. You know, encouraging Christians to be built on the truth, not on false teaching. But notice the key to discernment is growing in knowledge. Growing in the knowledge of God. Growing in the knowledge of Christ. Growing in the knowledge of Scripture, God's commandments. Growing in sound doctrine. All of which are important. First of all, we need to grow in the knowledge of Scripture. Because loving God and a life of godly discernment is rooted in a saving knowledge of God's Word. It's Scripture that gives us the knowledge of God. Thomas Watson said, "Holy Scripture is the rule of faith and life, and also the source of knowledge in all spiritual discernment." So to grow in the love of God and a life of discernment, we need to know Scripture. We need to love Scripture. We need to be devoted to Scripture. In fact, we need to have a solemn faith and conviction in the absolute perfection and sufficiency of Holy Scripture. And we need to be willing to govern our lives by it. and not by human tradition or religious sentiment. We need to know and believe that the Bible is the inerrant and infallible Word of God, and that it is all sufficient for faith and conduct. It is by love for God's Word and a desire to learn and obey His Word that we grow in discernment. In John chapter 8, Jesus said to the disciples, "If you abide in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you will," what? "Know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So we show ourselves to be wise and discerning when we take Christ's word at its standard. We grow. It is the word of God that sets us free from error, sets us free from patterns of sin, and sanctifies us in the truth and the love of God. It's the Word of God. Makes us wise unto salvation. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, Paul says, "The Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus," right, "is given by inspiration from God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished for every good work." Now, that, of course, includes discerning truth from error, good from evil. Those things that work for our edification in Christ, that are, what, approved to be excellent, and that will fill our lives with fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. What a great blessing! Because the Word of God is the source of every spiritual blessing. John Calvin said, "The ability to discern good and evil is a virtue learned from Christ, as the truth and love of God is sanctified in our minds by His Word and Spirit." So wisdom, discernment, spiritual understanding is a fruit and blessing of the Word of God. We can't be discerning of spiritual things unless we grow in the knowledge of Scripture, delight ourselves in Scripture. Thomas Cartwright said, "When the Word of God is engraven on our hearts and minds, we will then have the ability to discern between truth and error, good and evil. And so learn to love and cleave to the first, and so avoid the other." See, there's no way of discerning truth from error, good from evil, apart from the divine rule and standard, the Word of God. So the more we grow in the knowledge of God's Word, we trust its authority, our senses, our hearts, our minds are sanctified by it, are exercised, we become discerning. You can't be discerning unless you believe in the authority of Scripture, the sufficiency of Scripture, and also that you're studying Scripture and in an environment that exalts Scripture. How can the church be discerning when the Word of God is like put to the side, downplayed? And that's often how it is. Look, the Bible is inerrant, infallible, and it is all sufficient. It is the credenda and the agenda of our life, the rule of our faith and conduct. It is the canon authority of all. And all 66 books of the New and Old Testament are inspired by God, and they are the source of truth, wisdom, salvation, and spiritual discernment. The more we grow in the knowledge of Scripture, the more we grow in discernment. But we need to trust the Word, right? We need to abide in the Word. We show ourselves to be wise in discerning itself when we devote ourselves to Christ's Word, to study it, learn it, memorize it, pray over it, love it, devote our lives to it for the glory of God. Ulrich Zwingli said, "Those who know the Word of God are truly wise and discerning and are able to separate the pure grain of the gospel from the chaff of idolatry and false religion." That is certainly true. It is the Word that is the power of discernment. And so we need to fully believe that Scripture provides us with the wisdom, the knowledge, the discernment that God wants us to have for every aspect of life. We want to be devoted to the Word, to seek the Word, to love the Word. That is the way to a life of spiritual blessing and godly discernment. Most of our problems in life comes from distrust in the Word, doubt of the Word, putting the Word to the side and saying, "I think I know enough," and living based on tradition, sentiment, or other things. We need to grow in knowledge of Scripture. We also need to grow in the knowledge of sound doctrine. Loving God and a life of godly discernment is rooted in sound biblical doctrine. Right? And this, of course, is part of Paul's prayer. We must not only abound in love, but in knowledge. In knowledge. Paul, of course, is assuming the importance of growing in knowledge, the knowledge of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, Paul says, "Hold fast the form of sound words which you've heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us." So the more we grow in the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the truth, the knowledge of sound doctrine, well, the more we'll be able to discern truth from error and avoid problems. Right? False doctrine leads to an undiscerning and ungodly life. Augustine said that if we would hold fast to the truth in love, we would not so often stumble into sin and error. If we're cleaving to the truth, cleaving to sound doctrine, well, that's going to have an effect on our life. We're therefore to hold fast and firm to sound doctrine, to the faith once and for all delivered to the saints, to learn it, to study it, to embrace it, to rejoice in it, that we may be grounded not only in the knowledge of God, but in a life of discernment. Now, that to me simply means to hold fast and faithful to the Reformed confessions, the doctrines of grace, the souls of the Reformation, the greatest degree of love for God, and true spiritual discernment is found in the good old Puritan way. That's part of the problem of the churches today. As soon as you leave off from sound doctrine, Reformed confessions, and you start dabbling into neo-orthodoxy, broad evangelicalism, Pentecostalism, Roman Catholicism, and all the deviant forms of Christianity, you start falling into serious patterns of sin and idolatry and a lack of spiritual discernment. It's just how it is. The more the Christian mind is trained in the knowledge of the truth, in the knowledge of sound doctrine, the greater wisdom and discernment believers will have to serve and glorify God. A life of godly discernment and growing the love of God in many ways hinges on our commitment to sound biblical doctrine. Now, we need to speak the truth in love and embrace the truth and love the truth with a humble heart, but we need to be faithful to sound doctrine. But thirdly, we need to grow in the knowledge of God's law and commandments. This is also one of the vital principles of true discernment. Love for God and a life of godly discernment means holding fast and faithful to God's commandments. Love is the fulfilling of the law. And obedience to the law is, according to Christ Himself, the expression of true love. Right? Paul, in his prayer, assumes in the context of his writing that he is speaking of the church's obedience to Christ and God's commandments. Because this is what strengthens us in discernment, the knowledge of and obedience to God's commandments. We need to be trained by God's grace in following Christ to love God and to keep His commandments. And you can see, he says, "This I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ." Paul is here making a direct allusion to the law of God and the blessings of obedience to God's commandments. Because the law is good, holy, true, just. It's the standard of true moral excellence and that which shows forth the fruits of righteousness. So growing in discernment means what? That you know and discern and understand the Ten Commandments. You know, as we always go through, you understand the Ten Commandments. Like what God commands and what God abhors. Right? In John 14:15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And my commandments are what? They're not a burden. Sin is a burden that we need to overcome, and praise God, we are saved by grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ. But the grace that saves teaches us to live in conformity to Christ and obey His commandments. That is to our blessing, and that is to the glory of God. The fruits of righteousness that Paul speaks of here, that are the what? The part of a godly and discerning life, comes from obedience to the law So throughout the Old Testament, the saints were continually exhorted and commanded to cleave to the Lord by obeying His long commandments. This was to be their wisdom and discernment amidst the pagan nations, right? To discern or to judge righteous judgment was according to the law of God. That's the unanimous testimony of the Old Testament, hundreds of times. We're to judge according to God's law and commandments. In Deuteronomy 13, verse 4, the Lord says, "You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep His commandments and obey His voice. You shall serve Him and hold fast to Him." And notice here, holding fast to the Lord, loving God, includes keeping His commandments. That's what makes us discerning. And so, anytime the law of God is pushed aside, like it is today in the antinomian world of broad evangelicalism, you will have what? An undiscerning people. They don't understand. God doesn't like that. God's displeased with that. That's idolatry. That's sin. Right? Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." We need to grow in the love of God and discernment by learning, studying, obeying God's commandments. John Dodd said, "It is by the knowledge of God's commandments that we obtain true wisdom and discernment in the fear of the Lord." In the fear of the Lord. Think of how important that is, because nobody is discerning apart from the knowledge of God's commandments and the fear of God and breaking them. That is so important for today, because typically, God is trivialized, if not utterly, right, disobeyed, irreverently treated. Without the fear of God, there cannot be true spiritual discernment. In Psalm 1, David therefore writes of the devotion and the discernment of the godly man. Psalm 1, the preface to the Psalms is all about what? Discernment. He says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." The Apostle Paul in his prayer here in Philippians 1 is making an allusion to Psalm 1. The fruitfulness of a godly and blessed life of discernment, keeping God's commandments in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And notice what David goes on to say in Psalm 1. "The ungodly are not so, they're like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." That's discernment. True discernment is out of love for Christ and the grace that He has so wonderfully given to us in the gospel. We learn to obey His commandments in the fear of God. And then fourthly, final principle, we need to grow in Christ, in the knowledge of Christ and His saving love for us. Right? Loving God and a life of godly discernment is rooted in the knowledge of Christ and His saving love. So notice closely in Paul's prayer how he points us to the centrality and the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. He says, "In this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Amen." Notice, a life of godly discernment means growing in the knowledge of Christ. This is the good news. Right? Paul is always bringing us back to the gospel. Christ, our Redeemer, our Savior, His love and mercy for us. The more we grow in the knowledge of Christ, in the love of Christ, faith in Christ, devotion to Christ, and learning to follow Christ as our Lord and Savior, the more we will grow in discernment. Because truly, spiritual discernment, godly judgment, is found in Christ's person, His life and ministry, and His saving work, His death and resurrection. True discernment is in Christ, who has come to us to bring redemption, forgiveness, sanctification, The more we grow in the grace, the knowledge, the love of Christ, we become discerning. We are conformed into His image. Thomas Kempis said, a life of true wisdom and godly discernment is found in knowing Christ, cleaving to Christ, loving Christ, and in following Christ along the path of discipleship. Paul is taking everything about the blessings of the law and the fruitfulness of it that it brings. And here he's pointing us to Christ, who's the fulfillment of the law, the righteousness of the law, everything about it is found in Christ. And of course, Jesus sends us back to the law to be governed by. But it is in Christ that we find all grace and all spiritual blessing, including the virtue of spiritual discernment. You can't grow in spiritual discernment unless you're growing in Christ, learning Christ, and being devoted to Him. The more Christ fills our hearts and minds, the wiser and the more discerning we will be. For in Him are the treasures of all wisdom and knowledge. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Him, and no one gains spiritual discernment or understanding but through Him. The love of God and the truth of God is sanctified in our hearts and minds as we look to Christ, as we trust Him. His grace, His mercy, His death, His resurrection, His all-sufficiency, and we learn to devote our lives to Him. As the hymn says, be Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that Thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, Thy presence my light. Be Thou my wisdom, and Thou my true word. I ever with Thee, and Thou with me, Lord. Thou my great, great Father, and I Thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with Thee one. You see, it's when we grow in the knowledge of Christ, His grace, His perfection, His glory, His life, His ministry, His saving work, His death and resurrection. It's when we grow in the knowledge of Christ and love for Him that we grow in wisdom, knowledge, and all spiritual discernment. This is what love for God and a life of godly discernment means. It means following Christ, learning to obey and keep His word, learning every day to be conformed into His image from glory to glory by His grace. And so it is a certainty that the more we grow in faith in Christ and the love of God, we will grow in spiritual discernment. We'll learn to make godly decisions in our lives to His glory and to our blessing. Love for God, remember, is the armor of proof against error. It is the guardian of the truth, and it is that which makes us wise, discerning, and godly in the Christian life. This is what we see here in Paul's prayer for the saints in Philippians 1, 9 through 11, that as we abound in love for God and in knowledge and all the discernment, it is then that we are enabled by God's grace to approve the things that are excellent, to be filled with the fruits of righteousness, to avoid sin and idolatry, to be bound together in love and good works, to make godly decisions and live, as Paul says, to the glory of God. What a wonderful goal. What a wonderful blessing. What a wonderful prayer. There is an old hymn of consecration, which is also a prayer for discernment, that goes very well with what Paul is praying for. It goes like this. Lord, open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth Thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Lord, open my ears that I may hear the words of truth Thou speakest clear. And while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything false will disappear. Lord, open my mind that I may read more of Thy love in word and deed. What shall I fear while yet Thou dost lead? Only for light from Thee I plead. Lord, open my heart that I may keep fast to Thy truth and Thy blessings to reap. How shall I discern the way Thou dost lead but to follow Thy word in thought and deed? Lord, open my mouth and let me bear gladly the whole truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with Thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for Thee, ready my God, Thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Thou my Lord and Savior. Amen. Let's pray. Our blessed Father, we thank You for Your word, which is a light to our feet and a lamp unto our path, that in Christ, our blessed Lord and Savior, we have illumination, sanctification, and all the spiritual blessings that we need to live a life of godliness and true spiritual discernment. To that end, Father, we pray that you would open our eyes that we may see, our ears that we may hear, our minds that we may read, our hearts that we may keep, and our mouths that we might bear your truth. For the glory and praise of your name, through Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. Amen.